Welcome to The False Dragons. This is a spoiler-free podcast for the book series The Wheel of Time, written by Robert Jordan and Brandon Sanderson. Join us as we, your hosts, Alid, Mike, and Andrew, explore this amazing series for the first time. We hope you will join us on this journey.
When I take my shoes off, we're in business. Let me tell you. Oh, shit, I just fucked that up.
Fucking shut up, not giving a fuck.
Yeah. You got nothing on now? Let your hairs down?
I've got clothes on.
We can change that real quick.
Yeah. Well, that's why I've got the beers out.
Yeah.
Is this being recorded?
Yeah.
Oh, this is evidence then in your future trial.
Yeah, I'm going to send this to your wife.
Well, at least someone will get some action.
Yeah.
Chapter 28. Oh, wait, welcome.
Footprints in the air.
Chapter 28, for those following along.
Yeah.
Footprints in the air. And we've got our river... What's our picture? Wind, water, leaves.
So we had a discussion about it last time, and we talked about it being some kind of like strange secretion.
Yeah.
But I think, and Nynaeve mentions it a couple of times, she has like a hitting stick that she used to hit people with when the wisdom.
You think it's that?
Still is the wisdom.
An old, gnarled piece of wood that
she uses. That's what I think it is, looking at it again, because they're the leaves on it.
Yeah.
And it seems to have a bit of a grip, not like a sword, but definitely like a pommel.
Okay.
So I think it's Nynaeve's hitting stick.
So that's a Nynaeve-based chapter has her homemade dildo as the...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the chapter picture.
Yeah.
With some oak leaves.
And this is a chapter where we dive quite deeply into Nynaeve's psyche.
Yeah.
A little bit. So this is the first time we've had a Nynaeve-based chapter since she met up with Lan and Moiraine.
Yeah.
And we had the revelation that she is...
A witch. Burn the witch.
Yeah, a dirty, dark friend.
Which I think she's struggling with.
Yeah. She is struggling with it. She definitely is not accepting of the fact. Well, she kind of is, though. You know, it's a weird... It's always weird, I think, when you get into Nynaeve's head, because...
Oh, I find it super weird. And I was just about to talk to you about that, actually. Whether you... agree with the portrayal of her doubts, because what I liked about Nynaeve was that she was a strong, confident woman.
Yes.
And then as soon as we get inside her head, she is full of doubt.
Not self-doubt, though.
Self-doubt? Definitely.
No, I didn't get that.
Oh, come on. It starts the chapter like that, right? Nynaeve stared in wonder at what lay down the river, the white bridge gleaming in the sun with a milky glow.
Yeah.
Another legend, and they don't even see to notice. She resolved not to stare where they could see. They'll laugh if they see me gaping like a country bumpkin.
Okay.
She's self-doubting over the fact that she's even looking at something in wonder.
Yeah, okay. I think...
And a whole relationship with Lan and Moraine stems from this inadequacy that she feels around them.
Definite inadequacy. But I wonder if that's just the effect that Moraine is having on her to some degree.
Does everyone feel pathetic under Moraine's gaze?
Everyone should do.
They're not fit to lick her boots, mistress.
Well, I don't think she feels that she is doubting herself. I think she's true to herself. I think there is a bit of inadequacy there. But I don't think she's doubting herself in terms of what she wants to do and how, maybe how she will achieve it. But I think that the self-doubt is sort of on a subconscious level. I don't think she's necessarily wrestling with it in the same way that, let's say you or I would.
Yeah.
Right? Who are more sort of anxious people.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
You know, I mean, like she's firm on what she wants, which is that the boys and Egwene are safe, and that she will do anything to make sure they're safe.
She's driven.
Yeah.
And she'll do what it takes to see that through, right?
Yes.
But she's not jealous. But she, I guess she feels like little around these people, right?
Yeah.
Which is understandable.
Well, because her
given
normal,
that she is a country bumpkin, right?
Well, yes. And her normal sort of tricks of the trade aren't working on them.
Yes.
Which is that she browbeats everyone into submission.
So it's like big fish in a little pond goes to big pond.
Yes.
And meets a bigger fish.
Meets a bigger fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And all her normal wiles are like nothing.
Nothing compared to Moraine's titties.
Well, I wouldn't say. It doesn't even mention her boobies.
We've got to assume that they're luscious.
I'm sure they're very luscious. On this episode of Misogyny Now. but it says like that she, no matter how many rocks she threw in the pool, Moiraine's calm was never disturbed.
Yes.
And I think that's what's throwing her off, is that she can't get a rise out of this woman. She can't.
But Moiraine doesn't rise.
No. People rise for Moiraine. I wasn't even going there. You know, I wasn't even going there.
Yeah.
That was really good.
You know, like, people don't come down to, she doesn't go down to their level.
Yeah.
People come up to her level.
Yeah.
Of it, you know? That's the way I see it.
Maybe. See, I feel that Moiraine does get shaken and she does rise to things. She just does it in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's plenty of times where she has her feathers ruffled.
Yeah.
And she makes it known.
Yeah. Well, one of those times is in this chapter.
Yeah. Yes. So, interesting the take on how, again, Nynaeve is thinking about the One Power and how she can use it for her own ends.
Yeah.
Which I'm not quite sure is the point of the One Power, maybe.
No, I don't think it is.
I don't think you bend, it's a bit like the Force.
Yeah,
you don't bend the One Power, the One Power bends you.
Yeah. I mean, she's coming around to the fact that she has to use it, right? Like, it literally, in one sentence she said, the power was a filthy thing, she would have nothing to do with it, full stop, unless she had to.
Yeah.
So she's already accepting that. She was like, I would have nothing to do with it.
It's unless, this duality, her self-hatred. Right?
Yeah, unless I have to, in which case I will use it to the as much as I can.
To my ends, right?
Yeah.
And then what I find quite interesting is the sentence, Nynaeve had found herself thinking of what a wisdom could do with the One Power, of what she could do.
Yeah.
Because I'd always assumed that all wisdoms use the One Power. But they just didn't know it.
Yes. No, they're just like herbal women.
But yeah, so this is different, right?
Yeah.
The different things.
Yeah. So the wisdoms, or whatever, is just one name for it. They're just wise women, in a sense.
Yes.
They use herbs and that kind of thing. I think that a few of them maybe have been able to touch the One Power, which is why they became wisdoms, subconsciously, you know. But so she's going, if I actually learned to use this as a tool,
yes,
what I could do
with repertoire,
it, yes, what I could do with it would be incredible.
I could heal you like Nynaeve, like Moraine healed Tam,
yes,
and then give you a nice cup of tea,
exactly,
afterwards.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, which she's already been doing in a sense,
yes,
which we know she's already been doing a little bit,
yeah.
But if she mastered it, she could do great things. She'd be like the best wisdom in the Two Rivers. Tar Valon wisdom, get out of here.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tar Valon. Taran Ferry.
Yeah.
Got nothing on the...
Got nothing on
the Aemon's Field wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'd be like a celebrity.
People come from far and wide.
Well, from Taran Ferry.
Yeah. They better not steal anything while they're
there. Mm. I like that she's kind of at war with Moiraine, but she sort of takes exception to the fact that Moiraine doesn't know that she's in a fight.
Yeah.
Moiraine's just like, yeah, I'm just doing things.
Well, you know, we learn that's the way.
Yeah.
Give up all emotion, right?
Yeah, you'll do nothing with the one power when emotion rules your mind.
So you've got to be kind of a bit of a monk by the sounds of things, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And that's why Moraine seems so cold.
Could be, yeah. She definitely mastered her emotions. Well, she thinks she has.
And she seems, you know, and that seems to be in her treatment of...
Everybody.
Everything that's going on right now, right? Mm. She's so logical about it because she's unemotional about it.
Yeah.
And Nynaeve can't stand that.
No.
Because she's ruled by her emotions.
Absolutely she is, yeah. What I think was great was she said that, and yet Lan made her even more furious than Moiraine.
Yeah.
Like, just the guy.
Yeah.
The killing man.
Yeah.
Just hanging around, saying very little.
Yeah.
She's
How
like,
dare he be so stoic?
Yeah. She's like, I hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is what they are. They're aloof. Right? And they rub people up the wrong way because of their aloofness.
Yeah.
Right?
Their betterness than everybody else. Yeah. Mm.
They might not necessarily be sitting around thinking we're better than everyone else. Although,
I think they are.
I suspect they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they are too.
But that's the air they're projecting by a mile anyway, right? You know?
Yeah. Lan's definitely better than, you know. What most people.
The last Lord of the Seven Towers.
Well, exactly. Like, you don't become the last Lord of the Seven Towers without being better than all the other Lords of the Seven Towers.
The other six Lords of the Seven Towers.
No, because...
They're dead.
Exactly.
Right, so he's at least better than six people.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's better than Ran. Yeah. So that make that seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and what I like is that it's their stoicism that is just grating on her.
Yeah.
Just... constant.
Well, at least Moraine seems to be starting to give a bit of reasoning, which I quite like. You know, she's about going on about how the coins work. She's you know, she's giving her a bit of information about...
She's feeding her what she needs to
what
know
her
to
powers
shut her
are
up.
And,
yeah.
You know, why she's doing what she's doing.
She's not teaching her like she was Egwene, though.
No. No.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe she feels that Nynaeve is too irresponsible.
Maybe. Yeah, too hot-headed.
Mm.
Yeah, perhaps.
And I like the description of the world around them. It feels like the world is taking a breath. Like everything has kind of stopped for a minute. And it's winding Moiraine and Lan up a little bit.
Mm.
They can sort of feel that sort of... the eye of the storm, in a way.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you can feel when the temperature drops and the pressure changes and you know, like, rain's about to come.
Yeah.
They can feel that
atmosphere. I think it's quite interesting to posit about Lan here.
Yeah.
And what his connection is to the situation.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Moraine uses the One Power.
Yes.
Right? And she can feel the world changing.
Yeah.
She can feel the Dark One's power shifting.
Yeah.
But Lan can too.
Yeah.
So is he in touch with the One Power? Why does that not make him crazy? Like all men who use the One Power. How can he use...
Has it been explained?
No. Nothing about the Wardens.
The Warders.
Warders has been explained.
So they don't use the One Power. They're not in touch with the One Power at all.
Are you spoiling it for me?
No. No, no, I'm not spoiling it for you at all. I'm just saying that they're not male users of the One Power. That's not what they are.
Yes. They're just... That's what we can assume, right?
Yeah.
But they do have some sort of connection. He obviously has some sort of connection with the world.
Yeah.
Because he can feel stuff changing, right?
Yeah.
So how? How is that if it's not through the One Power?
So, I think it's, he's quite in tune with Moiraine.
Mm.
And I think he's feeling...
What she's feeling.
Or, you know, they've been together long enough that he feels, he knows when she's getting tense, and that makes him tense.
Mm. Maybe, yeah.
That's the way I interpret it. Is that, you know, he's more in touch with her than he is sort of what's going on around. I mean, we know that he can sense dark, not dark friends, but like Trollocs and Fades and all of that kind of stuff. So he has some kind of sense. Yeah. That I guess he gets from Moiraine in some way.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely not from the dark, or not from the One Power.
Why do we say definitely?
Because he doesn't go insane. I mean, there's nothing in here that he does anything that's magical. And we know that the Red Aja capture and kill anybody who can use the One Power.
Okay, man. Yeah, but we don't know all men go insane for using the One Power.
Well, that's certainly the implication that they draw.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's the belief of everyone in this world.
Yeah.
That men cannot use the One Power. And they
so if there are how many Aes Sedai that there are, and they all have warders, why would the Red Aja not be just escorting all of their warders?
Because the reason people go insane is because of the Dark One's taint.
Yes.
Right? So it is the Dark One that drives these people insane. He goes into their dreams and he fucks them up.
Yeah.
And he whispers to their minds, right? As we saw in the prologue.
Yeah.
Warders may be specially trained.
Yeah.
To block out the Dark One. Or they might be even just specially attuned.
Yeah.
To not allow the Dark One to speak to them.
Yeah.
And then, or maybe they use the One Power in a more subtle way, less direct.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say it's definite.
Okay. Yeah.
In my reading of the book.
Yes, fair enough. Me saying definite is probably being a little bit too definitive, because there's been nothing to say one way or the other, for sure. You got me there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. With that, we'll end the podcast.
I've been made to look a right dick. So, fair enough.
If you believe Aled is also a dick, comment below.
Yeah. Just tell me you're a dick, Aled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So, Nynaeve at the White Bridge. Yeah. I'm with you now. I think this bridge was made of magic.
Yeah.
Go on. I didn't before.
Why is that?
Oh, just the way she describes it.
Super thin, fragile.
Yeah, slick as glass, wet glass, but it gave the horses a firm, sure footing.
It sounded like metal on metal.
Yes, and with the horse hooves, like steel on steel. Mm. And then she says, if lace were made of glass, it would look like this.
Mm.
So I'm with you. I think it's magic.
Yeah.
I was thinking more like of a solid construction, but the way she's described it is like... Yeah.
Ethereal.
Yes, ethereal. Mm. Perfect.
Mm.
Yeah. Exactly like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Right again.
Yep.
Jesus Christ, guys, I'm owning you two.
You're like 5 books ahead.
And I'm only half a book in.
Well, he's actually 6 books ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Been doing some reading, have you?
Right. So we seem to be coming up on Whitebridge after the events with Tom, yeah, Rand and Matt have happened.
Yeah. I like how shifty everyone is. Everyone is shifty.
Yes. Yeah.
And I also like the idea, like I had this image in my head, you know how like Moraine's talking to everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Just everyone.
Like sympathizing with them and
But like it's not dodgy at all that this woman's going around going, so what happened?
No, and then she's someone not tells a story. Questions.
And then someone else goes up and then, okay, tell me what happened. Or, okay, she's not asking questions, but she's having conversations and people are revealing things, right?
Yes.
But she's just walking from person to person to person to person to person, getting just, like 100 different tales.
Just empathizing.
It just, in my head, this is like an open world game and these are NPCs.
Yeah.
Right?
I know exactly what you mean. Just
the dialogue tree.
Yes.
And then this one doesn't give you the answer. Okay, walk on to the next NPC.
Find the one with the quest.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a really good description. And Lan just looming over her.
Yeah.
Like as protection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, more of her mind control. Right.
Do you think she's enticing people, like, into giving them answers, or do you think she's...
I think it's part of her use of the one power.
You reckon she's subtly, like, just trying to make them a little bit more...
We've talked about this before. She's definitely...
Yeah?
She influences people.
She's influenced me.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty obvious in this chapter.
Yeah.
Right? She's getting people to say what she wants to say them to say.
They say more than they think that they want to, and then they're kind of like, oh shit, I said too much. Yeah. And like that guy like ran away.
Yeah.
As soon as he said.
Yeah.
Yes. Like we went down to the docks to burn a boat.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh shit, and then ran away.
Yeah.
Trouble that came down river on a boat, we showed them, and then he's like, oh fuck.
Yeah. Oh shit. No, we didn't. It was John, not me.
Yeah. So there's an interesting bit here. One woman said that a gleeman had been on the boat. The boat that left.
Ah.
If that had been Tom Merrillin.
Because I kind of read that as he came on the boat, not he left on the boat.
Ah, yes. Well, yeah, the way it's described, the boat had gotten away. That much was clear. Cutting its moorings and fleeing downriver only the day before while the mob poured onto the docks. Nynaeve wondered if Egwene and the boys had been on board. One woman said that a gleeman had been on the boat.
Yeah.
That, to me, the way that paragraph is structured makes it seem like there was a gleeman on the boat leaving.
Mm.
Could have been arriving. But just the way it started off saying the boat had gotten away.
Well, I mean, I think what we're picking up here is that all the stories are some, you know,
jumbled.
Mixture of truth and made up bullshit, right?
Yes.
Which is pretty much, again, stated outright.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It says they all lied.
Yeah.
They still lied, though, most of them. Yeah.
So, what facts could, you know, they can gleam out some certain stuff, but they can't gleam out specifics.
No.
And neither can we as readers assume that Thom is alive.
Yes.
Just that's a hint that they were the right people they were looking for.
Yeah.
Were there, right?
Yeah. And then they seem to have rocked up on the right inn.
Yeah.
Inn stood in the square, common room divided in two by a shoulder high wall, which we know is how Batram's Inn was divided.
Yeah.
And they ate their meal consumed in silence. And then some douchebag walks in. Like, big dick in a small town.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Lan spared him one glance and snorted. Militia, useless. Just love his condemnation of like everybody who's like not him.
Well,
it's a fucking loser.
They're not a lord, are they?
They're not the last lord of the Seven Towers.
They're not even a lord.
No.
Never mind the last lord.
They don't even have a tower.
No. more of a small kind of domicile.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What are you, like, the lord of your bedsit? Yeah. What is it, made of concrete? But it's not even built by slaves.
Yeah.
Just, like, rocked up.
He's he thinks he's...
Yeah, he thinks he's hot shit. Mm. Absolutely he does.
And then, but he hasn't met the last Lord of the Seven Towers.
No one's met the last
Lord of the Seven Towers. He's about to meet the last Lord of the Seven Towers.
Yeah.
What's it Lan says to him?
We are leaving as soon as I finish my ale. The light illuminate good Queen Morgays. So the red uniformed man opened his mouth, took a good look at Lan's eyes and stepped back.
So it wasn't even something he said, it was his eyes.
Yeah. I like this. This is, again, it's like classic, like, Nynaeve sexism. She thought for a moment he was going to do something foolish to keep from looking the coward in front of two women. In her experience, men were often idiots that way. I mean, she's right.
Yeah.
Like, how many people have gotten into bar fights just because some guy doesn't want to look a dick in front of his girl?
Yeah.
Right. And I like the warder's hard-planed face was expressionless, but so were those cold blue eyes. So cold, just looking at him.
Mm.
Like, go on, mate. Give it a go.
And Lan's like, oh, you can go. We don't need you anymore, Nynaeve.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a dick. He's a bit of a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, nothing will stop you from leaving.
Yeah.
Just leave. Like, he's sick of her shit.
Yeah.
Like, just get out of here.
And Meraine goes. She does the line. No, she doesn't do the line.
No, but she does say she's part of the pattern.
Yep.
She's part of the pattern. She's part of the pattern, Lan. Stop trying to change the pattern. Yeah, they're being weaved in a certain way.
Yeah.
Mm.
What do you think about that kind of stuff? Fate.
Oh, these bollocks.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In this world?
No, in this world, I think it's a fantastic literary device. But in our world, I think it's bollocks.
Well, I mean, as a literary device, it can be flawed in the sense that the character is flawed, right?
Yeah.
So Moraine believes that fate is a thing. And yes. So she follows fate.
Yes.
Does that necessarily make it true? No.
Nah.
So is it your belief that things are happening as the world plans it to be?
Yes, I think the people are being put into the positions where they need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who is doing that? The world itself or the Aes Sedai? And the Dark
One? Not the Aes Sedai.
Are the Aes Sedai and the Dark One playing 4D chess?
No, I think the Creator and the Dark One
are playing. The Creator.
Yeah. The Dark One playing 4D chess. Mm. Yeah, and I think the pattern is the chessboard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wheel is
just time.
Okay, yeah.
That's the way I see it. The wheel turning, I think it's just time.
So when she say the wheel weaves... I said it right.
Yes, you did say it right. But I look at it as kind of, you know, like those old school looms where you have to,
yes,
to turn the thing to thread.
But it's not the wheel. It's not time that's willing. It's the Creator.
Yes, that's the way I see it.
Okay. Okay. And do we have any theories on who the Creator is? Are they an abstract or an actual?
Well, I mean, being? Bella. Yes. Is the obvious choice,
yes.
Right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What more do you need?
I've no retort.
Yeah, exactly. You know. She's a good horse.
In fact, I don't think we need to come back for any more podcasts.
No, we've solved the puzzle.
Yeah. Do you think Brandon Sanderson would have gone with that? Do you think, like,
what, he would have
Robert, Robert Jordan's got, like, in his notes, like, Bella equals creator. And Brandon's like, fuck this shit.
What the fuck? Yeah, the guy was clearly insane. Get rid of it. I don't know enough about Brandon Sanderson and his what he thought of Robert Jordan to be able to make that claim. You know, he could have gone like, oh, it's genius.
Yeah.
You know? I have no idea.
Talking about Mormons.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes. Brando is a Mormon.
Yeah.
He teaches at BYU, which is like Mormon University.
Yeah. Indoctrination Central.
Yes. Yeah. BYU is where they do soaking.
Yes.
Yes, because that's the article I read. It was all about students at BYU.
Doing soaking and jump buddies.
And jump buddies. Yeah. I wonder if that's what Brandon teaches when the camera's off. He's like,
Yeah.
Guys, just so you're aware, this is how I got around it.
Yeah, yeah. So God is all seeing, but...
All knowing,
but...
Yes.
It's not only the Jews that can work with loopholes, guys.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, your intentions mean nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
It's all about
the act.
Literal.
Yes.
Literal.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. The word of law.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mm.
What do you think, Mike?
I think he's pissed off we're talking about Brandon Sanderson.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Brandon's fine. I mean, it kind of changed my opinion a bit. However, he writes great books. So
yeah,
it's all good. However,
he wrote the manual on soaking.
Yeah,
he can soak me.
Yeah.
Although Andy, and Andrew, and I
have been soaking.
Have you been soaking?
No, he's not allowed to soak.
I would have to have free time where I wasn't completely knackered.
Yeah.
To even contemplate any kind of sexual act.
Okay. Well, we're halfway through the book, it seems.
Yeah.
Checking out.
Could I soak in the book?
So, yes, you can.
They're
so,
pretty thick books.
Yeah.
At this current point, who are your favorite in... least favorite characters so far?
All right, favorite.
He's thinking.
I'm gonna go with Matt as a favorite.
Right? Oh yeah.
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 Why?
Because, like, he fucks shit up, right? As someone who, when you read in a chapter, like. He is the one character that when I'm reading a chapter and he pipes up, then I know that some fucked up shit's going to happen. And I'm going to come to you guys and go, what the fuck has Matt done now?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You love to hate him.
Yeah.
And that to me is an interesting character. Right? Mm-hmm. Least favorite character...
Don't you dare say Moraine. Rand.
I do want to say Rand.
Yeah.
Like, I find he's just a bitch.
Yeah, he's a douche.
I find, like, every time I'm reading from Rand's perspective now, I'd rather be reading from someone else's perspective.
Yeah.
Just because he's so whiny.
I know, he's a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah. I fucking hate him.
Yeah, at least, like, Matt knows what he wants. He wants treasure and he's going to get himself fucking treasure.
Yes. Yeah. And at least, like, any time anything happens that doesn't quite go the way he wants it to, he doesn't freeze in a panic.
Yeah.
And then just completely fuck the situation up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Allard.
Yeah.
At this point, no further than this book. Options.
Now, I would like
Moraine.
I would like to know who, other than Matt, because we know that you think Matt is a better character later on.
The worst.
Yeah.
Like, who from now to where you are do you think grows the most as a character?
Egwene.
Egwene.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even know.
I don't even know.
Mm.
But so far, yeah.
No, actually, that's actually a really difficult question.
Mm.
They are all completely different characters.
Yeah.
Where I am now, like, completely different.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, like, I couldn't pick any one of them to be. I could say has grown more.
Yeah, because they've all changed completely.
They've all, like, yes.
Even Lan.
Not really.
Lan's the same.
He's always the same.
Lan's just Lan.
Yeah.
He's a constant.
Yeah.
Constant
Lord.
Yeah.
Losing it all. Lord of nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's
like the figure, he's like the value of one all through maths.
Yeah.
One is just one. Never changes. It's just one.
Okay, so are there any characters that I should be looking out for to crop up now that get to be good characters later on that haven't been introduced and maybe introduced in this book or near the end of the book?
Wait a couple of chapters.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not quite there yet.
Yeah.
Wait till we get to Caemlyn.
What's really cool is that
then my favorite character is introduced.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, two chapters in.
Yeah.
Who?
In Caemlyn.
Oh yeah. I feel that throughout the books, it's like multiple people are just irritating, but it only becomes like one or two people that become
that irritating. People change.
Yeah, because like the constant like character growth. Yeah.
Yes,
which is really cool, and it just happens over time, and so over time you get less irritated, more interested.
Yeah,
which is really good because I mean it's really slow, but it's really good.
Yeah. So where you are now is Randa Bitch.
No.
Is he a man?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Does he have his hair, though?
What?
You know.
Yeah, he still has hair.
He could be bald.
Yeah, no, he still has hair.
Sorry, bald people.
What happens at the end of this chapter, then?
They did talk about some shit with the coins.
Oh, the coins.
Yeah, they're going to go after the one who they can sense. They're talking about Perrin. They're going for Perrin. And hoping that the other two go to Caemlyn.
Yeah, a bit more Nynaeve hating on Moraine.
Well, yeah. Nynaeve is quite set in her ways for a person that's like a wisdom.
And where I am now in the books, Crown of Swords, Nynaeve is the most annoying character.
I think she's always been the most irritating character.
She does some cool shit.
Yeah.
She does some cool shit.
But she's always so like...
Her personality is a little bit grating, yes. But she does some cool shit.
She's basically a grandma.
Yeah.
That's what she is. She's a grandma.
She's a battle axe, right?
Yeah, she is.
But she as a character, she exists to challenge Moraine's morality.
Yeah.
And she makes some good points, right? Especially in this chapter.
And
you know, what about Egwene?
Yeah.
You've not talked about Egwene.
No, and she's like, Egwene's not important.
Yeah. She's like, you know, I'll treat her like any other girl with the power, right? You know, if we can.
She's important to you, but she's not important to the pattern.
Yeah. And I think that that lack of touch with her humanity is Moraine's biggest weakness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because that makes people dislike her.
Mm-hmm. She's above them.
And not believe her and not trust them, not trust her.
Yeah.
So no matter what she's trying to do, and I think, you know,
that's all Aes Sedai.
This is something we talked about in the Aes Sedai in general a few weeks back, right?
Yeah.
Is that if they were more open with society in general,
that people would be more drawn to them.
Maybe they'd be able to meet their goals.
Yeah, people easier. Would be a little bit more empathetic. People a little bit more
supportive.
Yeah.
All right. Well, sweet. Don't forget to click like, subscribe, and you can buy Mike's used underwear now on his OnlyFans page. Just $15.99 for 1 day's wear, $20.99 for 2 days' wear. And this week only a special 1 week's wear for $50. he won't shower that week.
Lucky you.
You're welcome.